Can you turn with me now to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, in the heart of the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 28, I'm just going to read that one verse. Proverbs 25. And at verse 28. It says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So we're following through the different stages of human life. We've come to adulthood. And there are many themes that we can think about in adulthood. Adulthood can be a very busy time. Leisure can be in short supply. When you come into young adulthood and you've passed that stage of exams and so on, and you start a job, you've got to juggle the job with responsibilities perhaps of a new home, and looking after that home, and perhaps a garden as well. Maybe you get married, and you've got that relationship, and children come along, and life becomes very, very busy indeed. And it's a real challenge to try and stay afloat in the busyness of life. And most adults find themselves asking the question at some time or other, you know, how can I manage to keep doing all this? Or what can I do so that I'm not so busy? What can I do so that my life won't just be chock-a-block, won't be so hectic, won't be so exhausting? And maybe as well we recognise that busyness isn't necessarily productivity. And maybe we recognise the words of the Greek philosopher Socrates when he said that beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. So how do we deal with busyness as adults? And if any of you are busy today, you'll know that this message is relevant to you if you're busy in your life. If you're trying to, as they say, pack a quart into a pint pot, if you're trying to do more than you feel you've even got the time or the energy to do, what does God have to say to us? What can I say? Am I going to tell you how to be less busy? I'm going to give you a pile of little handy tips. I'm going to put you on a guilt trip, a good old Free Church guilt trip. Am I going to spout advice about something I don't know about, or that you'll be too busy to take? You know, there's plenty being written and plenty being said about busyness today and about how to deal with it. There's books and books and books on the subject. I just want to home in on one very simple and essential truth in the battle against unproductive, barren busyness. And that's this. It's true generally for adult life as well as in dealing with busyness, that our greatest need is for self-control. Our greatest need is for self-discipline. Without that, then, verse 28 of Proverbs 25 says, we're just like a city whose walls are broken down if we lack self-control. Literally, the term for self-control there is restraint of spirit. Someone who knows how to just give a measured response in every situation is someone with this kind of self-control. But if we don't have that, then our lives become just like a city whose walls have been broken down. It's a powerful image. Of course, it comes from another age. It comes from an age when cities had walls to protect them. And the wall of the city was really an emblem of its security, and of its success. Remember when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem after the Babylonians had destroyed and razed to the ground the city of Jerusalem. What was the first thing that Nehemiah did? It was to rebuild the wall of the city. And if we are lacking in self-control, then we're just like a city whose walls are broken down. So what has that picture got to say to you and me this morning? Are you like a city with proud walls, standing secure, able to control the comings and goings within the city, and looked up to by those round about? Or have the demands and the desires of your life broken down the walls? And has self-control been lacking? And are you basically overrun, like a city without walls, overrun by busyness? Because if we're carried along by busyness, then, like the city without a wall, our lives will be defenceless. Busyness is one way in which there's no doubt that our enemy, the devil, keeps us from Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, "Be self-controlled," says Peter, "and alert, because your enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whoever he may devour." And the devil will devour us if we lack self-control. And if we let our lives just go to seed in barren busyness, for example. And people who are too busy, people who are overrun by busyness, they're always saying to themselves, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow I'll sort things out. Tomorrow, tomorrow I'll maybe listen to Jesus." And what an enemy that is. How many days are wasted by us saying, "Tomorrow"? We're like a city whose walls are broken down. We're defenceless, but also chaotic. The city without walls that has no control is a city where anyone can come and go. And in our lives, anything can come and go if we lack self-control, so that we can easily be distracted, easily be preoccupied with anything and everything, with things that are trivial, things that are not important. Time is consumed so that at the end of the day we look back and we say, "What have I achieved today? I've been so busy, but what have I got to show for it?" And like a city without walls, we're held in contempt. Because a life that lacks self-control is a mess. Just like a city without walls. So if we want to be in control, if we want to be managing our lives as adults well, then we need to deal with this busyness. Because all around there are things that would drive us, all around there are things that would allure us. There's any number of things, whether it is, you know, what's on the television, whether it is what's doing on the croft, there's lots to take our time up. There's lots to keep us running around endlessly. And we need self-control so that we can manage it. And that's why we read in Titus chapter 2, Titus tells us that adults need self-control. Remember what he said? The elder must be, this is the elder of the church, must be self-controlled. First of all, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. The older men, he said, must be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled. The older woman, doesn't actually use the word self-controlled about them, but he says they must be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. Apparently that was a problem in Crete in that time, lacking in self-control. The younger woman, self-controlled and pure, says Paul. The young men, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Self-control. Is that one of the characteristics of your life and of my life? Self-control. Are you a person with mastery of yourself, of your desires, and of the demands that are upon your life? If you have self-control, then the teaching of the Bible is rich on the fruit of what self-control brings to our lives. With self-control, here's a list of a few things you can achieve. You can delegate, first of all. Give a couple of examples. Remember how the apostles delegated the tasks of looking after the widows and the orphans to the deacons. Remember how Moses delegated the task of judging disputes among the Israelites to elders in the nation. If you have self-control, you can delegate, so that if you are busy, you can share the work. If you have self-control, you can prioritize. Remember Mary and Martha? I was tempted to preach in this passage, but I've preached in it quite often. It's a great passage, the end of Luke chapter 10. And Martha's running around. She's busy, a busy adult. One of those kinds of people who just never seems to stop, but needs to. Jesus rebukes her. It's Martha. You're busy and distracted about many things, but one thing is needful. Just one thing. And Mary, your sister, she's sitting at my feet listening. I am your Lord and Messiah, but you're too busy cooking the soup. This is an opportunity that the entire human race would give anything to have, and you're busy cooking the soup while I'm here, your Lord and Messiah. Mary has prioritized correctly. She's chosen the good part that won't be taken away from her. With self-control, we can recognize that the most important thing in our lives is our relationship, as I was saying last week, with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing in our adult lives, from which all will flow beautifully and all will be ordered and fall into place rightly if we make that our first priority. With self-control, we can prioritize. Here's something else that we can do with self-control, is to rest. With self-control, we can rest. So many people are just not resting today. Every day is work. Every day is busyness. And God gave us this day, the first day of the week, to be a Sabbath, meaning a rest day. A day to cease from work, a day to be still, a day to worship, a day to reflect, a day to pray, to seek God, a day to fellowship, a day to enjoy the blessings of family life, and also just daily to rest, to find a point where we spend time with God. Self-control enables us to rest. Self-control also enables us to say no. We read that in Titus chapter 2, remember? It says, the grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's Jesus. He's appeared to all men. And this grace teaches us, as Paul, to say no. To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. How many of us need to say no? Some people just find it impossible to say no, and others will exploit them for that weakness. There's a saying that says, if you want a job done, ask a busy person. There are some kinds of busy people who just can't refuse jobs, who just try and do everything. And sometimes that is ungodly. Sometimes that is just an example of a broken life, a life without self-control. Self-control enables us to say no under the pressure of people who want us to do things, who want to make demands of us, and to say no generally to what is wrong in our lives. Self-control enables us to say no. Self-control enables us also to spend money wisely, to budget. Now, an awful lot, if you noticed, an awful lot of your business consists in shopping and then in dealing with the shopping, in dealing with what you've bought, those gadgets you bought, those new things for your garden or your house or whatever it is. And shopping is out of control in our society. People are out of control. Self-control enables us to be wise with our money. I mean, we could go on and on in this, but just think of it as being the way by which you build up the walls. Just think of it as being the way in which you bring peace and safety and security into your life. Self-control. On Monday, I found myself in the grounds of Duncraig Castle. I guess about 150 years ago, some really excited gardener came back from wherever he'd been purchasing some seeds, and he planted them in the ground, hoping that they would grow. Rhododendrons, the latest thing. And he was quite pleased when later in the season the rhododendrons sprouted, and a few years later when it produced those beautiful blossoms that rhododendrons have. And then it began to seed. And everywhere, little rhododendrons were springing up. I suppose he thought little of it at first, Mr. Gardener in Duncraig. He left those little rhododendrons to grow. Well, his successor, the gardener who came after him, I guess probably cursed him. Rhododendrons had taken over. Swathes of the estate were in darkness, in shadow, choked by these enormous rhododendron bushes, shrubs, trees almost. As they say, roddies are nothing but trouble. That's what a lack of self-discipline does. Our lives get choked, gradually, but inexorably, with busyness about stuff. In our garden in Badical, every year I go round and pull up all the little rhododendron bushes that are growing there. Because there's lots of rhododendrons round about and they keep seeding in the garden. And if you don't do that, well, before long we'll be engulfed by these pesky rhododendrons. They'll take over. We need to do that in our lives as well. We need the self-discipline to uproot progressively, systematically, whatever would choke our lives, bring darkness in our lives, through just being busy about nothing, being busy about stuff. We need self-control. Now, if you haven't got self-control, or if you think this is one of your character weaknesses, and probably most of us wish we had more self-control, then let me just finally say how to get it. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, self-control. God's Spirit in our lives enables and strengthens us to have self-control. So if you want to have self-control, if you want help in self-control, God's Spirit in your life is what you need. And to receive God's Spirit into your life, you need to become a Christian. You need to come honestly before God in prayer. And with conviction, you need to tell God that you lack self-control and that stuff is seeding everywhere in your life and leaving you in darkness. It's devouring your time and your energy and your spiritual appetite. Please, God, rescue me. Rescue me from the shadows of a barren and busy life. Please, God, have mercy upon me. Ask God earnestly for His forgiveness. That's what you need. And tell Him that you want to begin afresh with His strength, with His help. God promises to hear our prayers when we seek Him in this way, to give us His Spirit. Paul says to Timothy, he says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit who will give us discipline in our lives. And when we're honest with God, we can also be honest with others. Because I think often what we really need in the church is to be just talking more honestly with one another. I mean, away with the old pattern of things where people were all trying to show how good they were to one another. And there was a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of self-righteousness. What we need today is for Christians to be honest with one another if they're struggling, and to support one another, to pray for one another, to form small groups with one another, to encourage one another and help one another, to go into accountability and mentoring relationships with one another, so that as we honestly share our lives with others, we can help one another in the disciplines of a godly life, of a life that is free from a barren kind of busyness that consumes time and energy and leaves us in the dark. We need God's help today. God can transform you and He can transform me by the power of His Spirit. But it takes self-discipline. It takes the exercise of our own will. It takes our own effort. It takes our own challenging choices. So that in our lives we can have those right priorities. We can spend our money wisely. We can delegate. We can rest. We can say no. May God help us to exercise His God-given self-control in our lives as we come honestly to Him and seek His help. Amen.